You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas. I'm so excited that you joined us, as I am every week. However, this week and this month, I am particularly excited because everyone knows I'm a horror fan, right? I'm a Halloween nerd. I love it. Every October, we do spooky themed episodes. And I got a good buddy of mine, too, to come along that's kind of been missing in action for several months. So I'm going to kind of get on him about that, but I'm also going to let him kind of tell you what the hell is going on in his life, because some exciting news surrounding him. And like I said, I'm just thrilled to have him here to talk about one of our Halloween themed episodes. What up to our good buddy, Chris Brayton is back. Chris, what's up, man? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. You gonna get on me now? Is that what's going to happen? I am.
Where the hell have you been, dude? It's ridiculous. I mean, I have a baby and then you disappear.
That's not true. That's terrible. That's terrible. I know I've been gone for a while from this whole podcasting thing. I brought ice chips and a very slurpy drink to do throughout the entire recording. Is that still cool to do? Since I've been out of the game for so long.
It's everybody's doing it now. Yeah, people have started doing that since you left. Yeah.
You and some other people have really gotten me into the Halloween spirit. I was not a big Halloween guy growing up. Like, we did a few costumes, went and got our ice cream. What am I? See, out of the game, man. You don't even know how to
talk. What the hell's an ice creamer?
It's an ice cream, yeah. You know, we get our candy, we go to the Harvest Festival, do that. But, like, I didn't enjoy horror movies because, like, I watched Nightmare on Elm Street when I was way too young, like 2 or 3. And so horror movies have always freaked me out. But then I've discovered recently, because of people like you and other great listeners of my old show, More Gooder Than, that there are some fantastic horror movies out there that don't have anything to do with, like, the slasher genre necessarily. And I've actually discovered a new love for horror movies. So I actually enjoy Halloween a lot more now as an old man than I did as a kid.
Yep. The whole month of October, like I said, we do spooky themed episodes, which we also did last year. And not only that, but in my personal life, I only watch horror movies in the month of October.
I won't watch
anything else. I watch at least one horror movie every single day for 30 days. And to get ready, man, you know, and some of them are rewatches. Some of them are movies that I haven't seen that I should have seen. Sometimes, you know, like new movies will come out, like this year, the new It Chapter 2 is coming out. I'll see a mix of new, I'll see a mix of old, but I only watch horror-themed, Halloween-themed movies. With that being said, this is in the realm of horror. It could definitely be considered spooky, but what are we counting down today, Chris? What's the list today?
We got aliens, Gerald.
Yeah, man.
We got aliens. I'm really excited.
And alien movies. So top five alien movies.
Yeah, they can be spooky. They can be fun. They can be, you know, they can go all across the whole spectrum. And I'm really excited to talk about it.
So alien movies as a subgenre, would you say you were into much more than just like the horror genre like you were talking about earlier? Or is this a newfound thing for you as well?
No, aliens. I love alien movies. I loved alien cartoons as a kid. So aliens is different because for me, as I know that it's going to come up, alien movies can be very scary because you're dealing with the unknown. You're dealing with, mm-hmm. It could be on Earth or in space. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that are going on, but you can watch an alien movie. And just enjoy it. There's a few on the list when I started doing like deep diving, because I had like my automatics ready to go, but I was looking at it like, I don't think I want to include that on my list. And so I have a few that I'm just going to like leave off the list. But for the most part, I love all of these.
Interested to see where you go then. You know, I tried to, I'll talk a little bit about it as the list goes on, but there's a couple other lists that we've done that these, some of these titles could cross, you know, so I tried to put a little variety in there without, at the same time, without leaving out some of my absolute favorites. So I think I have a nice mix here and I love my list. Real quick, before we get into our top five alien movies, I have to lead with this. Do you believe in aliens?
I don't. And but it's not right. Like it's similar to the to like Bigfoot and other like cryptids and things like that. Is that if I don't think that they're necessarily out there, but if they do pop up, I won't be surprised. Does that make sense?
Okay,
so like it'd be like I'm not this like so hard firm like nah, never in a million years. But yeah, but like if it happened, I'd be like, yeah, sure. That makes sense actually.
I could see that, yeah. Yeah. So you're kind of neutral really. It's like you're saying, I don't believe it, but I don't want to say I don't believe it in case they come into my house one night, you know. I could kind of
I see
what you're doing there.
Yeah, I have a pact with my wife too. You can never like jokingly say to me like, hey, I am actually from another dimension and I've been sent here to like protect the world, because I've been trained from movies to believe everybody, because you don't want to be the guy that misses the adventure because right. They don't like jump in. No, so it's not like I'm saying like, oh, there's just no way. But I haven't, from what we've seen from alien like stuff going on in the world, it's not like, you know, I'm not, if it was somebody other than a cattle rancher in the middle of Kansas that keeps seeing them, it's never right. Like,
right.
It's never like a respected member of society. It's Billy Bob from the corner market.
True. They do have a little bit of a niche kind of landscape there. Yeah. You're right. But I love alien movies too, man. And kind of like what you said, they go along with really the majority of the horror genre for the most part. I mean, not every subgenre, but most of them. It's just the fear of the unknown, you know, whether it's aliens or even darkness, even, you know, just the fear of what's in the room with you if you're in the dark, you know, and those types of feels that you get in your body when you're watching those movies for the first time is exhilarating. And a lot of the movies on my list, if not all of them, did in fact either scare me or make me feel uneasy in some way. And that's why they've stuck with me, some of them, for decades. So we'll get into it. How you feel, Chris? You want to go first, man? You want to start us off with your number five alien movie?
Sure, bro. That sounds like a lot of fun. So I will say at the beginning, at the top of my list, that I am going to exclude Star Wars and Star Trek from my list.
Oh my God. Can I say something too? First of all, I'm so happy you said that, because I forgot to make a note on my show notes. But I also, and I want to give a disclaimer, I excluded anything from the Star Wars universe, and I excluded anything that would be considered a superhero film. So that's me personally.
Yes. I agree. Because I'm not going to, because like obviously Thor is an alien.
Yeah.
You know,
and
like,
and
you have all the
Guardians of the Galaxy. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And I've done superhero lists before, and I've actually done Star Wars specific lists. And I feel like there's so many to pull from just those two universes that they don't need to be pigeonholed to like, you know, an umbrella category. So I didn't include them because I felt like my list would maybe be too heavy in one direction if I did that.
Of course. I feel like you just then would start to, it would just become a Star Wars, Star Trek, or a Marvel. And like if you have Star Trek movies in there, that's fine. I'm just like, you know what? Star Trek, between the TV shows, you know, the 50 movies that have come out, like you've seen a lot of, so like it would just be us talking about how awesome Wrath of Khan is and how great Spock is.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then like, you know, everybody in Star Wars is an alien. They're not from Earth. So so we would just be talking about like, hey man, isn't Rogue One just an awesome, great movie that they've done with since Disney's day, you know? So we could just, and similarly, like you said, with the Marvel Universe, unless it's just a Captain America movie, there's going to be an alien in there.
I'm with you. So we're on this, we're on the same page there. So I'm actually glad you said that, because I forgot to mention it up top. So, all right, man. That's so great. Go for it. What's your number five, brother?
Men in Black. I love Men in Black so much. Vincent D'Onofrio, his whole thing as Egger in the Egger suit is just like, that's one of the best acting, hands down, in any science fiction movie, if not one of the best in like any movie, to be able to do all that with the prosthetics, convey his entire emotions. It's amazing.
I'm Sergeant Friday from the 26th Precinct. A cat came in with a corpse the other day. Orion on the name tag?
Yes, that's right.
Right. Well, this cat is a a witness in a murder case. I'm going to need to take him with me, ask him a few questions.
Well, I don't know where the cat is right now.
Oh, you don't?
No, but maybe you can take me with you instead.
Damn, you do start fast, don't you?
I'd really like to go with you. Now.
Uh-huh. And, exactly why is that?
There's something I need to show you.
Slow down, girl. You ain't gotta hit the gas like that.
No, you don't understand. You really need to see this.
Oh, I will, I will. Oh, one thing. I gotta drive. You know, it's not some macho trip. I'm saying that's just the way I get down.
And then you had Will Smith,
yeah, I agree.
The height of his popularity. Tommy Lee Jones doing his best deadpan of just so serious. And it's so good. And we actually watched it with my oldest daughter for the first time. And she absolutely loved it. And
how old is she?
She'll be turning 9 soon. So it's okay. And so we did. What did we fast forward? We fast forwarded when we fast forwarded a few things just to kind of keep it a little good, because I forgot. Like, oh yeah, that's a little scary.
Yeah.
Like when he.
No,
when
it can
he,
be.
Yeah, when the alien gets Edgar and rips him open and you see the skin flop up. Like, you know what? We're going to skip this part. And so luckily I've seen it a billion times. I saw it in the theater. I was 14 when it came out, and I this movie made a huge impact on me. Just, I loved it. I mean, you had to have seen it in the theater too.
I did, absolutely. And this was actually my number 5 originally. It ended up getting bumped off as in my honorable mentions. It would have probably fallen about my number 6 or 7. But what I like about Men in Black, and I echo everything that you said, and one of the reasons why I put it on my initial list is because it's like, and obviously an alien movie, but it's like funny. You know, it's like a fun adventure.
It's
like a comedy. It's very similar to, you know, last week we did our zombie movies, and for me it's very similar to like a Shaun of the Dead type from the zombie genre, where it's like a zombie movie, but it's hilarious. And Men in Black is the same way in terms of aliens, in my opinion. You're right. I mean, Will Smith in the mid to late 90s was just the A+ action star. Just he was funny coming off the heels of Fresh Prince, so he was very charismatic, but he really knew how to handle himself in the action world too. And Tommy Lee Jones is an all-time man. I mean, I just love him on screen in almost everything I've seen him in. He's just so awesome. And this was such a different role for him. So I agree with you, man. Like I said, it would probably be my number 6. So we're really, really close there. But great pick for your number 5, man. Men in Black. Did you see the piece of shit remake that came out this year or sequel?
I didn't, man. No, I didn't. Like, there's a finite amount of time on this earth that we have. Finite amount of time we have. Was it bad?
Yeah.
Really bad?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't good. I mean, it had a great list of actors in it, but they couldn't even help the script, and it was bad. It was not that good. So, you could skip it. I wouldn't say it wouldn't be making this list if you had seen it. So, all right. So your number 5 is Men in Black, man. All right. So I'll tell you what. For my number 5, I decided to go with a film that's a little divisive if you talk to folks in the horror community, or, you know, even in this kind of subgenre that we're talking about today. But I remember when I saw this movie, man, it came out in 2002. So I'm going to think for a second. I would have been, I'm not very good at math, Chris. I want to say I was about 25, 26 years old when I saw this.
You would have been 47 years old. 40.
I was just retiring. I was just entering retirement age.
I just was able to collect Social Security.
I was, in my mid-20s, and it scared me. This movie, you know, I didn't... Once I got to, 16, 17 years old, I could see a horror movie, and I'd be okay, you know what I mean? But this movie, the realism involved, the minimalistic approach that it took... It just felt real. The acting was just a powerhouse by a lot of big names.
I'm so excited right now.
It's one of my favorite filmmakers, if we're talking early in his career too. But it's a movie called Signs from 2002.
Oh, I love Signs, man.
A lot of people hate it. A lot of people hate it. M. Night Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan's the director, obviously coming off the impressive run that he had there with Sixth Sense and then Unbreakable. And I want to say this was probably his third movie, I think. Third or fourth movie. I can't remember if The Village came before or after this. But
this is third.
This was just, it was just this Joaquin Phoenix and Mel Gibson, just powerhouse acting performances that really carry the film. And you can kind of get the sense, you know, Mel Gibson is this kind of fallen from grace pastor who has lost his wife and the mother of his kids. And as a result of that, he starts to question his religion. He starts to question the existence of God, which is what he's been preaching his whole life. And as that's happening, kind of in conjunction with that internal struggle that he's having, these aliens start kind of showing up and invading, you know, the county that they live in, which, like you said earlier, is, of course, some rural county in Kansas or something. And, you know, they start making these crop circles out in his fields because he lives on a farm. And it's a very, what was cool about Signs, I thought, is that Shyamalan did enough to where he was like inserting creepy imagery like every, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, there'd be something creepy in there. Kind of like what the equivalent of like a jump scare would be in a slasher movie. You know, it would be like a silhouette of like an alien standing on the roof, or like that one creepy scene where Joaquin is watching the news footage and the alien walks in front of the screen. You know, just real kind of like weird stuff showing up here and there, the crop circles. And then it builds to a climax, right? And then you finally get to see the alien. They finally come face to face with him. You kind of, you know, the whole story kind of comes together at the end, and you kind of see the, you know, the connection between what his wife told him and her last breath, what she said to him, ends up being the savior for him in the movie when he was questioning his savior throughout the whole movie. So it's a very deep film. It's very Shyamalan-esque in that way, and it has a great plot twist, and I like it, man. I just think it's a brooding tension, and it's a very like wholesome scare. You know, you're sitting there watching it, you're going, I shouldn't really be scared by this, but I am. And I remember I couldn't sleep that night, man. I saw it in the theater, and I had trouble sleeping the night after. It was just very unsettling. So Signs from 2002 is my number five.
I love that movie, man. It's funny that you brought this up, because I actually was talking to my dad about it, because I was trying to explain, because he doesn't like horror movies either. And I know this is an alien episode, but I was explaining to him, and I was explaining to him that horror doesn't just mean Saw. You know what I mean? Where you got the gore porn and everything. You know, it's that's not just what horror is. I said, and so we actually talked about The Sixth Sense. We talked about Get Out. We talked about Signs. And I said, like, you like all those movies. And he said, you're right. Those are all horror. And I said, yeah. And that's the realization that I'm coming to, is that I actually like a lot of horror movies. I just don't think of them as horror. But then Signs is incredibly scary. And most of it has to do with the music, or lack thereof, or the sounds. Mm. Remember the clicking noise over the baby monitor? Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. My gosh, it's horrifying. Yep. When they're running through the cornfield, I can't even describe how scary that was. I have a cornfield about 50 yards from my house. I'm surrounded by a cornfield at my house because I'm pretty rural as well. So if I say that I see aliens, you can't believe me, because I'm a rural bumpkin as well. So you can't believe me. I love it. And there's a lot going on. You have all the acting in this movie is fantastic. Everybody is really, really good. Think about the scene when Mel Gibson goes to M. Night's house and finds oh my gosh. And you can talk about different like weird things, like, oh, like what about the water, like in the atmosphere and all. It's like, whatever. Like, it doesn't really, that those type of things don't bother me. But as an emotion, it's an incredibly emotional movie. And especially to guys like us who have, you know, love our wives, love our kids, you know, I have two brothers. So, you know, like, it really hits home on a lot of different things and how you react in different ways.
Race truck swerved off the road and hit a Colleen and then a tree, and she was pinned between the two.
What does that mean, pinned?
The truck has severed most of her lower half.
What did you say?
She won't be saved. Her body is pinned in such a way that it's alive when it shouldn't be alive. And the truck is holding her together. And she doesn't feel much, and she's talking almost like normal. And we didn't pull the truck out because we want you to come down here and be with her as long as she's awake. And that won't be very long. Now, Father, do you understand what I've told you?
Carolyn? This is the last time I'm going to talk with my wife.
Yes, it is.
Hi, baby.
Lewis.
Just taking a walk before dinner.
You love walks.
It was meant to be.
Does it hurt?
I don't feel much.
Good.
Tell Harmon to play games. It's okay to be silly.
I will.
Tell Bo to listen to her brother. He'll always take care of her.
I will.
And tell Grim.
I'm here.
Tell him. See. Tell him to see. And tell Meryl to swing away.
I love the movie, man. I think that's a great pick. It didn't make my top five. It was going to be in my honorable mentions for sure. There's going to be some incredible films in my honorable mention and Signs.
Yes, same here. I had to narrow my honorables down to five, but I had about 20 to start with. So I'm right there with you. All right, man. That's so we're great. Swinging it over to you for your number four, Chris. What do you got?
This movie probably would be higher if I saw it earlier in my life, but I didn't see it until last year, actually. And I think it's one of the most incredible films ever made, period. And I think it's one of the movies that holds up better. I mean, it's a 37-year-old movie, and it still is just as good as then as it is today. And that's The Thing from John Carpenter.
Sure.
I loved this movie when I saw it for the first time, and I couldn't believe that I'd missed it, basically. And I couldn't believe just how tense it was, how well made it was, everything that's going on in there. And Kurt Russell, just at his most bearded hairiness too, and everything. And the whole idea that like the scariness didn't necessarily always come from the alien itself, but the paranoia was the monster too. I think it's an incredible film, and I'm just bummed that I didn't see it earlier in my life. But I am glad that it's there now. I love it, man. It's a great flick.
I agree with you. We have our first crossover. I'm going to be talking about that one here shortly, and I'll gush over it here in a few minutes. But I love that movie. One of my favorite filmmakers too, John Carpenter. So great pick, man. The Thing is your number four, which is up to my number four. So my number four is so sweet. It's the only movie that would not be considered, or at least wouldn't be discussed in the horror genre on my list. I love it, man. I named it as, I want to say my number three or four movie to watch with the whole family too. It's from one of the greatest filmmakers of all time, Mr. Steven Spielberg. From 1982, it's E.T., The Extraterrestrial, is my number four. Just such an endearing picture. I'm assuming you've seen this, Chris, right?
I did not see it until I was
Ever?
Probably... No, no, I, oh. I've seen it, of course. I didn't see it until I was in my late teens. I think I was like 18 or 19 when I saw it. Isn't that funny? I didn't see it as a little kid. And I know it's beloved, and I do like it. It doesn't hold the same wow for me that it does for other people. And I actually feel really sad about that, because I'm a huge fan of Spielberg, too. And
I've had these conversations with other guests before where it's like, you know, if you don't see something when it happens, you know, the nostalgia is not built into it for you. So when I saw this movie, I was 7 or 8 years old. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
so
it's perfection.
The memories that come from being an 8-year-old kid and seeing this, which is the age, you know, of some of the children in the film itself. I mean, it's an endearing picture about wanting to. Well, it depends on what viewpoint you look at it from. But if you look at it from E.T.'s perspective, you know, he misses his family. He wants to get home. You know, E.T. phone home. And then if you look at it from the kid's perspective, you know, this is an exciting adventure and this discovery that they have fallen upon here. And it starts out kind of scary, obviously, because, you know, if you stumble upon an alien, I can imagine it would be a kind of frightening experience. But they end up befriending him, and it's a very sweet story about E.T. missing his actual family while also making a new one at the same time. Some great young performances from a young Drew Barrymore in there. I love this movie, man. It's one of my favorite, like, quote-unquote family films that I just showed my son for the first time last year. And an interesting story, it was on, like, HBO or something like that. So I was like, you want to watch E.T., man? I mean, I know you've never seen it, because he was, like, you know, he's five right now, so... he watched it and enjoyed it, sat through the whole thing. And then it was about 3 or 4 months later, we were decorating his bedroom. And I said, you may have heard me tell the story on the show before, but I told him that he could pick a movie poster to frame and put on his wall above his bed because he had this empty wall. And of all the movies, you know, that he could have picked, he picked E.T. So right now there's a poster of E.T. hanging over his bed in his room, which anybody that knows me being an 80s junkie, I was very proud that he decided to do that. But I love E.T., man. It's one of my favorites, so I had to throw it on an alien list because obviously the extraterrestrial, and it's my number four, man.
I mean, it literally says alien in the title. So basically,
right.
Like,
right.
E.T.
Right.
I've seen E.T. and I do enjoy it. It's really good. Did you ever read the book?
Did you ever read the E.T.
book?
No.
It's weird, man. They have an entire subplot about how E.T.'s actually like super in love with the mom. And like has been like in love with the mom since day one. He's like a million years old too. He's like a million year old creature. I don't know. It's just a weird
book. That is kind of strange. But no, I haven't read that.
This is one of those ones that I'm actually bummed that I didn't see it as at like 6, 7 years old. And like, so like, yeah your son and you are going to have this deep, deep memory of it. It's similar to me when I watch Neverending Story, because like I saw that when I was a little guy. It, no matter what anyone ever says, it's a perfection in a masterpiece of cinema.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Because I saw it at that perfect time.
It was impressionable on you, right?
Yeah. Same thing with like Men in Black. That might not be big for someone who saw it when they were in their 30s, but I saw it at 14. So like 14, Men in Black. I would have said at one point that Men in Black was my favorite movie of all time when I was 14, because I had no taste.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? That's cool, man. I'm glad it's on the list. It wasn't on my list. It's not on my it's not on my honorable mentions or anything, but it's there. Number three for me is gonna be Predator, 1987. Okay. Arnold at his most Arnoldness.
Run! Go! Get to the chopper!
And Jesse the Body Ventura, Carl Winters, Winter. Yeah, it is Carl. Paul Creed. And it's set up an entire franchise with varying success. I love the movie Predators with Adrian Brody and where they get put up into the Predator 2, of course, and you get all the Alien versus Predator. You get all those different movies coming from this movie. But the original Predator is just, they just nailed it with how it all worked out. I love this movie. It's it may not be like the best written. It may not be the most high-end alien movie, but it's alien action with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You cannot beat it.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Arnold in the jungle, you know, biceps all sweaty and greasy and fighting aliens,
Dylan!
Bro. I mean, it's hard to top, man. It's hard to top.
I got time to bleed. Well, like that's not how bleeding works, Jesse the Body Ventura. That's not how that works. it's so good though, man. Oh, and the music, that drum noise that they have whenever the predator is stalking them. It's just too good, man. It's too good.
Yeah, I love it, man. It was on my initial list. It didn't make my top five, but it's one of my favorite Arnold movies too. It would probably be in my top five from Arnold's catalog. In fact, I think you and I did that when we went on Justin Winter's show when we did our Arnold movies. But yeah, I love that movie, man.
I won that.
Yeah, I think you did win that, didn't you? Yeah, you won that. I know. Oh, well, I've only won one, and I think it was a pity win, so I can't be too mad at you. All right, man. So that's your number three, Predator from 1987. Great pick, man. All right. So listen, my number three, my last three are definitely in the horror genre. All three of them, two really throwbacks. And then this one, which is a brand new movie. This movie came out last year and floored me, dude. Whenever I talk about this movie, which I'm about to, obviously, I get very sad that I didn't see this in the theater. I can't believe I didn't go out to check this out, because I go see movies practically every week. And I just didn't catch this one. It was only playing at like one theater near me. And I was like, it's too much of a headache to drive out there. Like, whatever, I'll catch it on Netflix, or, you know, which is what I ended up doing. I'm just so ashamed of that and so regretful of that, because this movie was easily one of my favorite movies of the year last year. Probably one of my favorite films of the decade. Just tremendous. It's a movie called Annihilation from last year, starring Natalie Portman.
Oh, so good. It's so good.
Can you describe its form?
No.
Was it carbon-based?
I don't know.
Did it communicate with you?
It reacted to me.
You really have no idea what it was.
Did your husband contact you at any point while he was away?
No.
It was his decision to go in.
Why did my husband volunteer for a suicide mission? You have to tell me where he was, what he was doing.
Now, it's Alex Garland, who is an amazing director. He also did Ex Machina as a film, which is also amazing that I love. I wouldn't necessarily be able to count that one as an alien picture, I didn't think, though. It was more of a robotic, futuristic sci-fi film. But he's just an amazing filmmaker, man. And what he did in Annihilation, I mean, it's a story about, well, you've seen it, so I don't, anybody that hasn't seen Annihilation, because it is fairly new, there's going to be spoilers here in the next couple of minutes. But anyway, you know, it's, just to make a long story short, it's basically like this world gets infiltrated, and it's like this kind of being, or I don't know, almost like a dome is placed down, and it's starting to grow larger and larger. And as the boundaries of this world grow, it kills our world, or our world becomes part of that world, or however you want to, you know, see it there. And Natalie Portman's husband is trapped in there. She joins this expedition with these other kind of badass women. Tessa Thompson's in there. Jennifer Jason Leigh's in there. And they go in on this mission together to find, you know, the survivors and see what's going on, you know, inside. And it just, you know, I mean, mayhem ensues. I mean, it gets crazy. There's some, when the quote unquote aliens show up, it's really creepy because it's like a mirror of yourself. You know that one scene I'm talking about, Chris, where Natalie Portman encounters her basically twin inside the...
Oh, bro. Yeah. I can talk about this movie for days.
Well, go ahead. I mean, I want you to give me your impression. I mean, I'm almost at a loss for words because of how surprising it was to me last year. Like, it was really good. And there's, you know, with the nightmare bear scene, I mean, there's a lot of the mutant alligator or whatever that they find in the swamp there. There's a lot of really cool kind of creature feature horror elements incorporated too. But at its core, it's a sci-fi alien film. That's a little ambiguous. I mean, you know, I even had to ask a couple people online. I didn't want to ask you because we're doing the show together. But I asked my wife because we saw it together. And I asked a couple people online that I trust their movie knowledge or whatever. I was like, this is an alien film, right? Like, I mean, nobody's mentioning it. And I just thought it was so good, man. It's one of the best films of this decade in any genre, in my opinion. What do you have to say about Annihilation?
I think it's an incredible film. If you haven't watched, it's on Prime right now. Okay. I think Alex Garland is one of the best filmmakers that we have on right now. And I think he's asking a lot of questions about like existence and like what it is to be alive. He started that with Ex Machina. Annihilation. I can't say enough good things about this movie. I think it's incredible. When you boil it down to how the script came together, because it's a book first. It's actually a book. But what it is it said, what does cancer look like if you put it on a global scale? Is what actually the whole idea from the movie is. And so, and a foreign body is introduced to the world, which, you know, and so it starts to spread. It's not malevolent. It's just doing its own thing. It's just interacting with our world in a way that it needs to interact. It's not doing anything particularly evil. It's not doing anything that it's not supposed to do. It's doing what it needs to do to live. And so it starts to change the world around it. And that the way that looks is horrifying because it's not what it's supposed to look like. And it is beautiful and haunting. It's hauntingly beautiful is the best way to describe it.
Right.
Everything inside that. the everything that's inside the shimmer, which is what they call where the alien presence is existing, is refracted. And so you're getting everything is in rainbows, and you're getting these creatures that are horrifying, but also amazing to look at, too. You get the... And the way it's affecting the women in the story, and like you said before, the acting in this movie is incredible. And also, of course, you're glossing over Oscar Isaac. And Oscar Isaac just, I absolutely love that guy. He has chemistry with anything that's on screen. And I mean anything. I don't mean that, like, just, just the humans. If he has chemistry with CGI robots.
BB-8.
BB-8. Like, because the whole time when you see Oscar Isaac, he's just like, is he going to have sex with that thing? And you're just like, it'd be beautiful and passionate. It's like you see him on screen with Princess Leia, and like, is he going to have sex with Princess Leia?
Is this happening?
You see him with BB-8. Is he going to have sex with BB-8? And so anytime he's on screen, there's chemistry with something. Sure. So anyway, the music in this is incredible or lack thereof too. Oscar understands when there needs to be silence. There's an incredible song from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young called Helplessly Hoping that plays at the beginning of the movie, and it just matches up so well with the rest. It basically sets the tone. I absolutely love this movie, and it's funny that you say it. I didn't think of it as an alien movie. It would have definitely been on my top five.
Nobody was mentioning it. I'm like, but I mean, it's got to be right. I mean, I know that it could be other things too. It could obviously be sci-fi.
Right,
it could be.
You are 100% correct. Yeah, you are right, and I'm jealous of you.
But I just loved it so much, man. It's definitely the newest movie on my list. So that's my number three, and we're up to our runner ups, man. What's your number two, buddy?
Number two is definitely going to be not in the horror genre, and I think it's one of the most clever movies ever made, regardless of genre. It the cast has such ridiculous chemistry with each other. You have callbacks to all the different movies that we're even going to mention here. You get callbacks to Star Wars, you get callbacks to Star Trek, you get some callbacks to the Alien franchise, you get callbacks to everything. In the science, it's basically a love letter to the alien science fiction genre, and it's still funny to this day, almost 20 years later. And I love this movie so much. It's Galaxy Quest. So okay. I love Galaxy Quest so much. It's Alan Rickman, of course, Tim Allen. And of course, you have Sigourney Weaver just killing it, and then you go to the alien presence that's in there. You get just even down to Dwight Schrute is in this movie, Rainn Wilson, and it's just too good, man. It's so funny. Tony Shalhoub is doing his whole thing too. Sam Rockwell playing Guy the entire time, obsessed with the fact that he's probably going to die because he's a red shirt, and anyway, I love this movie so much, and I showed it to my kids recently, and they loved it too. It's just such a good flick.
Well, I got to come clean. I've never seen this one. This is one of the films that I've missed in my life. You're not the first person that I've heard pine over it though, and I'm going to get on it. Do you know if this is streaming anywhere currently? Because I seriously would watch it today.
It's on. I think it's on Hulu. I think it's on Hulu.
I mean, just the cast list that you just mentioned enough, but I've heard several people talk about this movie, and it was on several lists when I was looking up movies featuring aliens. So I know it's well received. I just never caught it, man. What was the year? What'd you say the year on this one was?
97, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I could be wrong. I don't always get the years right.
I know I'm bumming you out there, man, but I've just never seen it.
Yeah, 99. Sorry, 99. So 99. So yeah, 20th anniversary this year. So.
Nice. Did you check it out?
It 100% holds up. I could recommend it to anybody. And if you're just a fan of Star Trek and Star Wars, and of course Sigourney Weaver, who's just an absolute sci-fi queen, it's so good, man. It really, really, you'll laugh. I guarantee you'll laugh. I think it's on Hulu right now. It might be on Amazon. I mean, last time I watched, it was just on straight up on TV. They show it so often. So
I'm gonna get on it, man. So your number two is Galaxy Quest from 99.
Oh, like so good,
like,
man.
Like you said, the 20th anniversary this year. So good pick, man. I'll get all over that for you, I promise. So my number two, you've already mentioned. And here's the tagline on IMDb: a research team in Antarctica is hunted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of its victims. So just the tagline alone, if you haven't seen this movie, will kind of set up the whole shtick for you. But it is The Thing from 1982. John Carpenter's one of his masterpieces, in my opinion. I mean, you already touched on it, and I agree with everything you said. This film made my top five creature feature films as well. It's, you're trapped. You know, this research team is trapped. They are literally in the worst possible elements that they could be in. And that within itself is horrific because you cannot escape anything, particularly an alien invading your camp. And like you said, the paranoia starts to set in. Is that really my friend or is that the alien? You know, they don't know who to kill. They don't know who to befriend. They don't know who to lock up in the cell. I mean, it's a very tense, like you're just kind of like sweating as you're watching it because you don't know either. And, you know, you wouldn't willingly kill a friend of yours if you were in that situation. But would you, because you don't want to be attacked by a shape-shifting alien? So the special effects in this movie, man, from a horror perspective, like the practical effects that they were able to accomplish nearly 30 years ago is just tremendous, man. And John Carpenter is one of my favorite filmmakers ever since the original Halloween, which came out about 5 years before this. And I know this is a remake. He remade this. I want to say it was originally done in the 50s, The Thing from Outer Space, I think.
I mean, it's, you could say it's a remake. I don't think of it because it is and it isn't at the same time. Because it's a whole different level though, too, at the same time. Keith David, right. And you get a mustacheless Wilford Brimley too, which is Wilford, like, where's Brimley. Your mustache? He doesn't have a mustache. What's going on? I don't know. I don't consider it a remake. It's more of an homage is how I think of it.
Yeah,
too.
I like that. Yeah. I love it, man. It's one of my favorites. Like I said, I put it on my creature features list and now I'm putting it on my alien list. It's definitely one of my favorite horror movies of all time from one of my favorite filmmakers of all time, John Carpenter. So I had to throw it on this list, brother. Like I said, when we started recording, you know, I wanted to kind of mix it up a little bit because there's some other lists that we've done in the past that some of these movies could apply to. But I just could not leave my top two off because they fit this list so perfectly. So that's my number two, The Thing. And I know you agree with me, man.
Oh, it's just all right, dude, so good. It's so good.
Yeah, I love it, man. So, all right, dude. So here we are, our top alien movies. Let's see what you got for number one, Chris. What's your number one alien film?
I can't see. Ours has got to be the same or at least close to. But it was hard for me because I wanted to include the first in the franchise, but I didn't want to double up. That was actually the hardest part. So I did go with quite possibly the greatest sequel of all time, if you don't count Terminator 2, but Aliens, John Carpenter's Aliens. It is an absolute masterpiece in terms of not just movies, but not just science fiction, not just aliens. It's an incredible film. It looks just as good today as it does, 30 years later. I mean, the practical effects, James Cameron, like him, love him, hate him, whatever. The dude makes the most watchable films in the world. You can't not look away from these movies. Sigourney Weaver is incredible in this film. Oh my gosh. She's just solidifies herself as just an action star in this movie. She was great in Alien. And I love Alien. I just didn't want to do both on the list because I could have just done Aliens and Alien. You know, top one, number one and number two. Easily well, could have done that.
That's okay because my number one is Alien, the original from 1979. So
yeah. So and what? That's good. I'm glad they're both represented because Alien is so good. Alien was a whole different movie. Alien and Aliens aren't even in. Alien is a clause. You know, it is just a straight up horror movie in Alien.
Right.
Aliens is an action sci-fi horror movie.
How
did that happen? How are they able to make the two genres? They're both masterpieces. They're absolutely incredible.
I agree with you. I love them so much. I love them both. So much, almost equally, but the reason that Alien, which was also on my creature features list, by the way, is my number one, is because This was the movie that I saw that when I was way too young that I was telling you about.
And oh,
when
the, I got you.
When the alien is birthed out of Cain, I believe, Cain's chest.
Oh, man.
So can you imagine seeing that period, but can you imagine seeing that at 8 years old? And that was really my introduction to what would be considered horror. And that image of that happening has stuck with me. Now, when you watch it today, which I watch this almost once a year, and you know, the special effects, obviously we're talking they're dated 30 years now or more. So what is this? 35, 40 years, right? 79, 89, 99. Yeah, 40 yeah, years. Alien, 40 years.
Aliens is 86. Yeah. And Alien is 79.
79. So movie. 40 years. Jeez, so please. You're talking about 40 years of, you know, computer graphics and special effects advancing and whatever. So it doesn't hold up to that respect. But if somebody 8 years old sees it today, it'll have the same effect that it had on me when I was 8 years old. So
now, see, I disagree in terms of it not holding up, because when the alien does the chest burst, mm-hmm. one, I mean, we all know the story that they didn't know it was going to happen. So their scare was actually genuine. I always love that. Right. I think that's brilliant by Ridley Scott. And Ridley Scott, man, can the guy build a universe? His mm-hmm. sets are just second to none. But the only thing that doesn't look good to me, everything else looks good, is the when they switch his head from the mannequin to his actual face. Like there's right. such a hard cut there.
Right.
Other than that, how everything looks, I say could be shot yesterday to me, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer it. I mean, we were talking about The Thing, which was only a few years after this. I mean, I prefer like, you know, use what's around you to make a practical right. Thing that has realism to it where you could reach out and touch it. You know, I know there is a place for like CGI and stuff, and it does work in certain situations like the Avengers franchise or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about, you know, this kind of vessel and this claustrophobic situation, let's just mm-hmm. use practical effects to like almost put you in that room to where it's very, very believable that these things are there roaming around with them, you know, and the xenomorph too in the first, well, and aliens also, but just an amazing creature design and just very scary. And what I loved about Alien, aside from just sticking with me for so many years and being one of the very, very first quote unquote horrific images I saw, like I said, I want to say I was about 8 years old when I saw this. One of the things I love about Alien as opposed to Aliens is that it's such a ominous like build to the climax at the end. You know, it's very like, holy shit, these guys get me off the ship. You know what I mean? Like, this is not going to end well. You know what I mean? But you can't get off the ship.
Would you have gone back for Jonesy the cat?
I'm a cat guy, so probably. Yeah.
I would have ditched that cat in a
really?
Heartbeat. It wouldn't even have crossed my mind to go back and get the cat. Like, no, it's so bad. Why would you go get the cat? I sound like a monster right now. The reason that Aliens was higher on the list for me than Alien itself. Now you can't have one. You can't have Aliens without Alien. Mm-hmm. Is just is that in Alien, you get someone who has no combat training whatsoever. Ripley is she's a pilot. You know, she's a pilot for a corporation. She's not even military. And she takes it out, but like through luck. You know, it's she has to destroy an entire ship. In Aliens, you get the Space Marines. And the Space Marines are the baddest dudes and dudettes in the universe, and they can't even handle it. That's how mm-hmm. powerful the Xenomorph is. And then you get the Xenomorph Queen, you get the fight scene with the loading mech, and then of course you get the late great Paxton and just as Hudson, and then oh my gosh, everybody in that movie is just killing it, just absolutely killing it.
I love it.
But no,
you know, there's a few movies
I can watch it right now.
Absolutely.
I saw Alien, I think I watched it like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Like it was just on, and I was editing and just like, oh, I'm going to watch this while I go.
So, you know, my wife and I have come to an agreement because I'm such a horror fanatic and I have horror memorabilia and you know, stuff like that, and t-shirts and whatever. So my son is very intrigued by it. You know, he's about to be 6 years old next week. So he's way too young for that kind of stuff, for most of it.
Totally.
And my wife and I have come to an agreement, like when he's 12, when he turns 12, we can start introducing him to some of the older stuff and kind of ease him into, you know, what would be considered horror. So as soon as he turns 12, bro, like I'm thinking about Alien, John Carpenter's Halloween from 78. You know, so there's a few movies in my repertoire that it's like, not just another horror movie. It's like a movie that I can't wait to introduce to new eyes. You know what I mean? And Alien is one of those.
Absolutely.
Where I feel like it's such an experience when you see it for the first time. And it's, I mean, have you ever seen, I don't know if you've seen, because it's been so many years, but have you ever seen the trailer for Alien when they were promoting it?
I'll watch it right after.
Dude, the original trailer is like so captivating. It's like a 90 second version of the movie where it's like heavy breathing and like, you know, showing different imagery that we know from the film after seeing it. And it just, the music starts building and swelling, and then it gets to the end and it just goes silent. The screen goes black and it just says, you know, in space, no one can hear you scream. And you just have
That's
the egg
so,
there. And it's like, yes. Yeah, so
good.
It's intense, so man. Good. So the trailer's like a little bit of a jump off to what you get into when you see the movie. So, you know, space is the unknown, bro. I mean, you talk about space and you talk about maybe the ocean. Those two things, I mean, it's you don't know what the hell could happen to you or what's out there. So, even when I saw Gravity a few years ago, I was scared. And that's not even a horror movie. I was just scared because, I mean, you know, I've joked around with Andy before. I can't float in space. Like, I don't want to do that. So,
All right, man. So that's your element.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your element in both of those. When you talk about the ocean, you talk about space. They're both in the same thing. You can't breathe, and you can't do what your body wants it to do. You know, during those. Oh, man.
Right. You don't have any control. You know, the elements have control of you. Yeah. All right, man. So let's wrap it up. Go ahead and give a wrap up of your top five and remind everyone.
So I got MIB, Men in Black. Then we got The Thing, and then we get Predator, and we get Galaxy Quest. You got to watch it, bro. I'll lie to you and say it's a. I'll lie to you and say it's a horror movie, so you can watch it during October, even though it's not.
Fair enough.
And then Aliens representing the franchise. Loved it.
Good list, man. And then my top five was Signs, E.T., Annihilation, The Thing, and Alien. The original was my number one. All right, so we're going to head over to social media in a minute, Chris, and do a little fan feedback. But before we do that, you know, truthfully, I have a lot more, but I'm going to give five honorable mentions. Did you have any over there you want to shout out that didn't get talked about today?
Yeah. One of the things I want to say first is every single one of the movies that you just mentioned are some of the most watchable films ever. And I think that's what this whole genre, I could have made a top 50 list is how I feel too. And it's like, I love almost everything in this genre. And because it just, they're so stinking good. I wanted to talk about District 9. I think District 9 is an incredible film. And I would have had it in there. Signs was one of mine. I want to give a big shout out to Mars Attacks, just in its weirdness.
Tim Burton.
Man, it's so good. Then, of course, you want to go back to John Carpenter with They Live. It's definitely not on par with all the rest of these movies, but it is the weirdest, most quotable movie that you could ever, ever talk about. And
I agree.
And The Abyss, I think, is super underrated. And we talked about, instead of it being space, it's underwater. I love The Abyss. I think
it's James Cameron knows what he's doing, man. That's a good one. Yeah. I saw that in the theater with my grandma. It's great.
Oh, did she like it?
Yeah, we both loved it. Yeah. I mean, it was I remember her thinking it was a little long. I feel like it is a little long, but it was good. Uh-huh. It was like you said, it was like the tropes in space, but it was in water. And he knew he had it figured out there. It was a good flick, though.
And you get Michael Bayne, too, in there. You know, James Cameron has crews that he likes to work with.
Yeah.
And then I love Ed Harris in movies. He's just got... He reminds me of my dad for some reason. Just the way that he talks, the way that he, like, acts towards people. And Ed Harris in all of his movies always reminds me of my dad. Last, I want to bring up Starship Troopers. I didn't see this movie until recently as well. And it is the weirdest, dumbest thing that I absolutely do really, really love. It's such a nuts movie. And Verhoeven, you know, his whole shtick and everything with the way that they do the commercials, you know, it's just the weirdest flick, and I do enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I could see that, man. That's a fun watch for sure. All right, so here's my five honorable mentions that would have rounded out my top 10. My number six, like we talked about, would have been Men in Black from 97. I agree with you there. It's just a funny alien movie, and I love it. Arrival from 2016 was
so good, man. So good.
I mean, Amy Adams not getting nominated for that was a crime against humanity. One of the best performances of the year, and just a, it's a very soft approach movie. It's not like a lot of stuff is happening visually in front of you, but the aura and the environment that's created is very the unknown. It's very much the unknown, and it's trying to figure it out along with her. And it's a very beautiful film too. The cinematography is amazing. So I love Arrival, one of my favorite films of the last few years. You already mentioned it, but my number eight would have been They Live. I'm a little biased. I love John Carpenter. We talked about that already.
Absolutely.
And you got Keith David again. He worked with him again. And Rowdy Roddy Piper, one of the greatest movie fight scenes ever, is in that movie in the alleyway.
Absolutely.
And it's just tremendous. Like you said, very quotable. And it's just silly. I don't know that Carpenter intended it to be cheesy and silly, but it is. But it's a good time. I got to see it on the big screen last year at my local Alamo, which I had never gotten a chance to do.
And
It was just a blast. Man. They were handing out sunglasses. It was great. So
that's so good.
My number nine, which I'm surprised we haven't mentioned yet. We talked about Will Smith, but we haven't mentioned Independence Day.
Independence Day. Yeah, Independence
Day. That would have been.
I know. I was going back and forth between Men in Black and Independence Day because they came out so close together, and I saw them at a very similar age, so they both impacted me. Mm-hmm. I just think when I was talking to my wife, that was her top five was Independence Day.
Yeah, that's one of my faves, huh?
I do love it. Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
And then my number 10, which I don't know if you've seen because you're not, well, until recently, you weren't really a horror guy, but my number 10 is just a mind fuck, just crazy, just an absolutely insane movie that you can't believe what you're seeing for 90 minutes, but it's called Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It's my number 10 from 1988. It is a B-list horror movie, and it's gained a cult following, as you can imagine. But that is literally what it is. It's killer clowns who happen to be alien in nature from outer space. Okay. And they come down to take humans back on their ship with them. And it's fucking crazy, man. So
speaking of clowns,
check it out if you're so inclined.
Yeah. So if you read into Stephen King lore, Pennywise is an alien.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I saw that too.
I saw the new It movie and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. It really scared me to death, but in a good way. But Pennywise isn't it? So technically we could have thrown.
We could it have technically, you know, it got mentioned last October, which I don't know if you listened, but last year we did Creature Features as a top five and a lot of people shouted out Pennywise because he's a kind of a an unknown creature.
He's an alien.
Yeah, he's an alien.
Interdimensional being. Yeah.
I don't know. To me, that's just like a pure horror movie. I don't know. It's almost like it would be closer to a slasher than an alien movie for me. I don't know why. Just mentally, that's how I process it. But you're right, though. I mean, he is an alien. He is a creature. So we could have thrown it on there, but we didn't. But whatever. Let's see if anyone else did, man. You want to head over to social media and open up the suggestion box, brother?
We got a bunch
on Twitter, man. I don't know. Let's see what we got here. I'll try to pick some that haven't gotten mentioned yet. So we'll start over on Facebook on the fan page. Check in the show notes, guys, if you want to join up to our Facebook fan community. That's where we interact with our fans the most. Drew Hallam from Real Feels. Love Drew. He's got Aliens, the sequel, and The Thing, but he also says he loves The Invasion, which was a remake of The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Are you familiar with that one?
I know of it. I've never seen it, either of them.
I've seen
the original.
I've seen the original. I don't know that I've seen the 2007 remake, so he's probably going to be upset with me. I got to check that one out. Justin from the Epic Film Guys, I love this guy. One of my favorite people in the world. He says it's not his favorite alien movie, but one that rarely gets mentioned, and it features the best alien abduction scene ever. And it's a movie called Fire in the Sky, and I have not seen it. So I've got to check it out.
Neither have you seen that? It was on all the lists that I saw because, I mean, I had my movies in my head basically I didn't even have to look up, but I always try and like look up, maybe I missed one. Like you said with Annihilation, like I didn't even have that on my list. But then when you really delve into it, that it is an alien movie. No, I haven't seen it. I know the poster looks really cool.
Yeah, and the title is awesome too. Fire in the Sky. I like that title. It kind of tells you what's going on there. All right, so Tony Vandenbush, new fan to the page over there, said The Predator and They Live. She could not pick a favorite between those two.
There you go.
Very, very, very good options. How about this? My friend Lauren, I thought this was awesome, and actually this got a few more mentions, but she said Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, man, you're right.
That's good.
Jeez Louise, that is. What other Disney ones are we missing out? Like, there's Treasure Planet. I didn't love that.
Well, Disney, like, I don't know. It. On my extended list, I had Monsters vs. Aliens, which was, I think, DreamWorks. I don't know if you remember that one.
Yeah. That's not a bad movie.
I liked it. Colby Mack over there has got Starship Troopers. So there you go. He said Starship Troopers and ID4. And Amanda, one that we did not mention. We were talking about Spielberg, but we did not mention this one. She's got Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's a very popular one.
Don't be mad at me. I hate that movie so much.
Did you do it for MGT?
No. I've tried to watch it because I'm a big Spielberg fan. I've tried to watch it and I have watched it. And I hate how they interact with each other. And then now especially, and Spielberg has said this too, now that he's, you know, years later, he would not have ended the movie the way that he ended it. Knowing that he's married with kids. I didn't see it until I was older. I already was married with kids. Like, you're leaving your wife and kids to go on this ship with the aliens, you POS. What are you doing? Right. So I don't, and the beginning is rough to watch. It's definitely not one of the best. Does it have its merits? Of course. Any Spielberg movie has its merits. The way that they're creating but anyway, I hate that movie. I really do. That's interesting. I have a deep look. Yeah. It would have been on my anti top 10 list.
Are my five worst alien movies.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to head over to Twitter. I'm just going to run down a few that hopefully we'll see if there's any new ones that we haven't talked about yet. Real Reviews over on Twitter said The Last Starfighter. That's a movie I have not seen. Have you seen it?
Yeah, man. That's it. I actually talked about that movie yesterday online with some friends because it's got Robert Preston in it, and it's every nerd's dream that's why they get good at video games. It's 100% worth a watch. It's 100% worth a watch. Like, watch it if you get a chance. It's really
good. I love this one, but Matt Lewinsky on Twitter, which is a movie that was on my extended list, it didn't make my top 10, is Spaceballs.
So yeah, that's the first time I saw a chest burster was on Spaceballs.
Yeah, I thought about including that because I excluded Star Wars and stuff. So I thought about including Spaceballs, but it didn't end up making the cut. But that is a hilarious parody film.
That's such a good flick, man. I love it.
So this is interesting, and I'll let you comment on what you think about this. So let's see. CCG podcast over on Twitter, which is the Countdown City, said there's just one alien that matters, and they put up a gif of Clark Kent and Superman. Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, it goes into the similar thing. Like Superman is my favorite superhero. Read into that what you will. People have a thing. I actually was gonna include it, but I'm like, no, because then you got to work on the Marvel movies and everything. But no, that's a fantastic pick because he's an alien. He embodies the greatness of humanity, but like of what humanity can aspire to be, selfless and helping everyone around them, using their power for good. Like it's
well, yeah, yeah. You know, I guess it does show that interesting argument where does an alien necessarily have to be evil or, you know, a bad thing? You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. So it is interesting from that perspective. We just decided to eliminate superhero movies because I feel like it would have been Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor and, you know, so I didn't want to start diving into that rabbit hole. But all right, the last couple I'll mention, let's see, No Offense Show over on Twitter said Dark Skies, which I have never not seen, it. But I've heard good things about. I've heard good things about them. And then our good buddy Paul from Varmints. Love Paul. I know you do too. He's been on your new show. So he put up a GIF of Arrival, which we talked about earlier. It was in my honorable mentions. You said you enjoyed Arrival, right, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Me and my wife watched it at home. I want to say on it's either Valentine's Day or anniversary. We watched it and we didn't have any babysitters. So I remember we put them down and we made like a fancy dinner and we watched it and just was sobbing the entire time. Mm-hmm. It's just such an emotional movie.
So the last two I'm going to mention, because I feel like you might have something to say about them. Audiobox over on Twitter, We Are Audiobox, said he hates how often he brings up this movie, but he has to say Space Jam.
Jeez, you're right. The Monstars.
Yeah, there are.
The Monstars are aliens. Here's the thing. Every single one of these movies that people are bringing up and are all so stinking watchable. All of them. You could watch them and like you're gonna have a good time.
Well, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because I don't want to offend the movie chaser over on Twitter, because this may be legit, but they put a bunch of the, you know, the emoji with where you're crying because you're laughing so hard. So I'm assuming they're joking, but I think you're gonna like this mention. But they said, "Does Highlander 2, The Quickening, count?"
Yeah. Oh my gosh, man. Because Highlander.
I know you love the original. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so bad, man. Like the first like 45 minutes has no dialogue other than like very offensive things to the LGBTQ plus community. Like it's a terrible movie. It really is. But oh my gosh, once you get Sean Connery in there, you can actually it's actually fairly watchable. But yeah. Highlander 2 just takes a big old dump on Highlander 1.
Yeah.
And just decides like we're gonna do something different.
I haven't seen Highlander 2, so that's why I assume she was joking based on the emojis there. All right, so that's the fan feedback for the suggestion box for this week, Chris. A lot of great feedback. Thank you so much for those of you that gave feedback. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them. We got a ton of shout-outs for this topic over on Twitter especially. So, Chris, Brayton is back, man, back in the seat here at 2Ps. It's been probably at least 6 months since you came on. You know, you used to do More Gooder Than, which was one of my favorite shows. And, I mean, I'm still mad at you. You kind of had to put it to bed there. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. I can't believe you didn't consult me first, but whatever. But the good news is you're coming back, and you got a little something new that I think just really premiered within the last couple of weeks that we're doing this. So tell everyone about your new show, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for the shout out to MGT. It was such a great show. Corey and Donnie, my co-hosts, we had a blast for 3 years creating that show. And you were such a big part of it. You were a Patreon supporter. You just were great, man. But we ended the show. We just felt like it was time, and we needed to move on to different things. And my co-host Donnie, you mentioned Drew Hallam earlier. He does the Critstorm podcast. My co-host Donnie does a Critstorm podcast with Drew and some other great podcasters. But no, I just started the I Like to Like Things podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's a show that I'm really excited about. And yeah, at the time of this airing, the first couple episodes should have been out there. You can subscribe to it regardless. I already have it submitted. It's on Podbean, iTunes, everywhere that you can find any podcatcher that you use. But it's the I Like to Like Things podcast. And basically, I'm going to have a different person on each show. And the idea is an ordinary person with an extraordinary love of a certain thing. And about the show is that everyone's got something that they are just absolutely passionate about and they love, besides like their family and kids and their work and whatever it is that they do.
Sure.
But everyone's got something that they love a little more than like the normal average person. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's things that I don't even know about that I didn't even know that I could love. So I want the guests to come on and I want them basically just to geek out about their favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. Teach me a little bit about it. Teach me why they love it. And then I want them to show me how I best can be a fan of their thing, whatever it is. And so the episodes that I've done so far have been incredibly uplifting. The entire thing is just about being positive, bringing a little bit more joy into the world, including my own, and just learning to love new things and something that you didn't even know that you could love is going to be presented to you. And so we're going to be coming out every Monday. You can follow us on Twitter at like two like things. And you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook as well at the same place. But I'm really excited about it. It's been a lot of fun recording. You are on it as of after we finish recording this episode. And
what am I bringing to the table there?
I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but we're going to shake off the old cobwebs as we record.
You knew it was trouble when you asked me to come on. We'll put it that way. All right. Well, look, man, I love having you on today, and please come back sooner than later. And I'm looking forward to being on your new show and listening to your new show. You know, I'll be a big supporter of yours, man. And, you know, you're the perfect person to do a show like that because you're so like welcoming. You know, you don't.
Thanks, man.
You're the furthest thing from what I would call a hater, because anytime I shout out, because we're friends on Facebook, too, aside from just the podcast. And whenever I shout out certain things that may or may not be, you know, I get shit about. You're like, that's great, man. You know, you love that. Do that.
You do you.
So you're a great person to have that concept over there, man. So I wish you the best of luck with it. But that's it for today, guys. That was our top five alien films. Make sure you check out Chris and his new show. All the information will be in the show notes. Chris, I appreciate you being here, man. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks, brother. Thanks a lot for having me on. I always have a good time.
Absolutely, man. Take care.
Daddy Fat Sacks, B-I-G-B-O-I, is that same mother to them knuckles to your eye. And I try to warn you not to test, but you don't listen. Giving a shout out to my Uncle Donnell, locked up in prison.
Now throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if they like fish and grits and all that pimp sh, everybody let me hear you say, oh yeah, girl. Now throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if they like fish and grits and all that pimp sh, everybody let me hear you say, oh yeah, girl.
Now my oral illustration be like clitoral stimulation to the female gender. Ain't nothing better, let me know when it's wet enough to enter. If not, I...
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.